again, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, and children of all ages, you are now tuned in to the Investor Show. As always, this is Grace's host, Prince of Investing, Prince Dice, coming to you guys and girls live, all the way from the beautiful city and state of Denver, Colorado. If you're catching this live, don't mind to come in and say hi. Well, ladies and gentlemen, we got a very interesting topic today. We're going to be talking about the stimulus package that we have going on, well, potential stimulus package that got halted or whatnot. So we got the stocks dropped 600 points after President Trump ended stimulus talks. The Federal Reserve speaks on the economy. They talk about before the coronavirus happened, during the coronavirus, and after coronavirus. So today we're going to talk about political risk, Trump stopping the stimulus talks, the Federal Reserve, what they said, what does it mean to investors, what do both sides agree on in the history of stimulus packages. But first, ladies and gentlemen, if you haven't done so already, go ahead.
Hit the subscribe button. Hit the bell icon. Hit that like, comment, and share button.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, once again, this is the Investor Show. As always, this is your gracious host, the Prince of Investing, Prince Dice, coming to you guys and girls live, all the way from the beautiful city and state of Denver, Colorado. Don't forget that like, subscribe, comment, and share button. And as always, I don't have a lot of time, and I definitely you guys and girls don't have a lot of time, so let's jump straight into it. So the first thing we're going to talk about, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to talk about political risk. What is political risk? Political risk is what you're seeing, prime example today, which we're going to go a little bit further into. Political risk is a risk as an investor. Politics get in the way of you making your money. For prime example, if you are in the energy sector and the government comes out and they do not, you're in the energy sector and the government comes out and takes away energy tax credits. By them taking it away, that raises the value of, not raises the value, that raises the prices of particularly someone purchasing solar panels. Versus the opposite side, if you're in the energy sector and the government gives out tax credits for people to purchase your product, that in itself does better business for you, because now if someone gets solar panels installed, the government gives them $5,000, $7,000 to claim on their taxes for getting solar panels installed. So that's a political risk. For prime example, if you invest overseas, you have international risk, but you have a political risk overseas. As we saw last year when we had the trade wars and the tariffs, when President Trump came out and just threw tariffs on oil, tariffs on beans and whatever that was coming out of China. So that's a political risk. If you're an investor and your products are coming from overseas, guess what that does for your business? Not real good for your business. For prime example, let's take Apple. If President Trump comes out tomorrow and say, I'm putting a 20% tariff on electronic products coming out of China, guess what? If you're Apple and you're an Apple stockholder, you just raised the price of iPhones. When you raise the price of iPhones, that in itself, when you raise the price, what's going to happen to demand? Demand is probably going to fall off. Speaking of Apple, they come out with a new product. I'm pretty sure they're going to announce the new phone on October 13th. So October 13th is a big announcement for Apple. I'm pretty sure they're going to roll out a new iPhone and probably a new something else or whatever. But they're talking about they having a big event next Tuesday. So anyway, ladies and gentlemen, that's political risk. You got to be very aware of what is political risk. And also political risk is what President Trump just did today, which, ladies and gentlemen, is just he woke up on the wrong side of the bed, not the wrong side of the bed, you know, no pun intended. But he woke up and he said, hey, you know what? He told his Republican counterparts, stop talking to those Democrats, you know, about getting a new stimulus package. Stop talking to them. And we'll pick up talks on the stimulus package after the election, because I think he's probably figuring out that, hey, they're trying to politicize this or whatever, but we'll get into that later on. But before we go more into Trump stopping the stimulus talk, let's see what you guys and girls are saying in the comment box. Luminaire Wins, he here already. He says, I warned everybody about con man criminal Trump stopping the stimulus. Stimulus is the only drug that will keep the bubble expanding. Without it, Trump's economy is a dealer. He's deader than a doorknob. So he said the economy is deader than a doorknob without a stimulus package, right? Antonio, what's going on? Antonio is out of Pennsylvania. He says, good evening, Prince. I miss your lives, but I've been catching them on the replay. Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, everybody know that you can catch all the replays of these lives on your Spotify, iPhone, YouTube, Facebook. What else are we on? Google Podcasts. You can get them on your phone. You can get them video. You can get the audio. You can get them on your Facebook, social media. So, or you can catch them live. So they're all over you want to be. Miss Joyce, how you doing? Hi, Prince. I'm looking forward to a great, great info as usual. Thank you for tuning in. Luminaire Wynn says, hey, Prince, smash the likes. Everybody hit the like button if you haven't done so already. And then we got my guy, Max B's. He said, Trump said, y'all do not like me, but y'all want my money. Because, you know, the president has to approve. The president has the power. He has to approve the stimulus package. So why did he stop this? Ladies and gentlemen, you got to understand the political risk that I just discussed. We have an election coming up next month. This is not a political show. I'm not going to politicize. And hey, this is, I just like to read through the lines of the politics and just tell everybody, how can I better myself as an investor at looking at this? So the big thing is, we know everybody's been in talks about the second round of stimulus. The second round of stimulus is needed because of small businesses, airline industries, COVID-19. A lot of companies and sectors got hammered, like restaurants got hammered during COVID. Dry cleaners got hammered during COVID. A lot of companies got hammered. And we all know in economics, the cornerstone of the economy is small business. So they want to get out there. They want to help small businesses. You know, earlier this year, they gave everybody $1,200. I think if you made under $1,000 or something like that, they gave out a bunch of $1,200 checks. They extended unemployment because a lot of people was becoming unemployed. And they gave a lot of money to companies to be able to stop people from laying off people. So right now, here we are. September 30th was the last day the airline industry could not lay off anybody or furlough anybody, anything like that. Trump comes in, he stops the whole stimulus talks because this is just my opinion. I think that he feels as though the Democrats are trying to politicize the stimulus package. For prime example, Nancy Pelosi, who is the head of the Democrats and head of the House, she came in and she proposed a stimulus package of $2.4 trillion. And that's with the House. But I think in the House, three people tested positive for COVID-19. So they said, hey, we're not going to vote on this until next week. So that's next week. On October 19th is when the Republicans are supposed to vote on the House passed bill. And I did a show on that. I think it was $2.2 trillion or $2.4 trillion, right? So now you have the Republicans, they push back and say, hey, instead of pushing $2.2 trillion, what about $1.6 trillion, right? And the Democrats said, no, they don't want to do that. And then President Trump is just thinking that, hey, you know what? I'm not going to go back and forth with these people. I have an election around the corner. I feel as though they're trying to politicize this. I'm not going to deal with it. So he just said, hey, you know what? Let's just push that off. Once I win the election, we're going to pass a big stimulus bill because I'm thinking maybe Democrats, you know, the House may win. They may lose votes in the House or they may lose votes in the Senate. So this is political risk. Why are you talking about politics? Some people say, well, Prince, you never talk about the pandemic. If you follow the money, you'll follow everything. So the biggest thing when you look at what's going on in the world, you got to ask yourself, if you are smart as an investor, you're like, okay, you got two people bickering and arguing, what's going on? Ask yourself this question. What do both sides agree on? Because guess what? If both sides agree on something, eventually we all know a bill will probably be passed. You know, I don't care who the president-elect is next month. I'm pretty sure they will sign off on a bill to be passed, right? They're going to find some type of way, some type of stimulus. So when you do your research and you look inside of it, and I wrote it down here if you haven't, we got to talk about what do both sides agree on. You got to evaluate that, because why is that important as an investor? If you look at both sides agreeing on something, you know, one person is saying, hey, I think that we should give money to, I don't know, banks. And the other side, one side is saying, I think you should give $1 billion to banks. Another side is saying, no, only 800 million to the banks. One person is saying 1 billion. One person is saying 800 billion. But guess what? With all that arguing, as an investor, I know the banks are going to get some money. I don't know if it's going to be a billion. I don't know if it's going to be 800 million. I don't know if they're going to meet the middle of the road and go 900 million. But when the smoke clears, banks are going to get money. So I'm looking at the future and saying, if banks are going to get money, how is this going to be pushed? Ladies and gentlemen, I'm hypothetically speaking. So how to look at the same thing. So let's take a prime example. Let's take a look. Wrote this here on my whiteboard that I had in my office before I came over here. And let's look at some of the things that both of the parties agree on. Both parties agree on PayPal protection plans. Both of them agree. Payroll protection. So when you look at both sides, both of them agree on payroll protection plan. They all looking at giving more PPP loans accessible to everybody else. So when you have both sides agreeing that, yes, we're going to give a second round of loans to businesses, small businesses are going to win. It's just a matter of time of when they're going to win. The second thing they both agree on, giving families money. For prime example, they both agree on that both sides should have some type of money. What I mean by both sides should have some type of money, they look at both sides. Last time they gave out $1,200 checks, they both agree on $1,200 checks. So that means households would be stimulated. Now let's get to business. What do they agree on business-wise? Both sides agree that airlines should get bailouts. You know, both sides. You don't see a Republican or a Democratic side saying, hey, we don't think airlines should get bailed out or whatnot or whatever the case may be. Nobody is saying that. The Federal Reserve agreed that airlines should get bailed out. Federal Reserve, which is Jerome Powell, the chairman. You're talking about Stephen Munch, who is the chairman of the Federal Reserve, pretty much the people that write the check. He's talking about airlines should get bailed out. I'm going to get into his statement a little bit later on today, what he said. Also, you're talking about the Republicans and the Democrats, ran by Nancy Pelosi on the Democratic side on the House. And you have the Senate side, Senator McConnell on the Republican side, who runs the Senate. They both agree that everybody is in agreement that airlines should get bailed out. That's why I made the video that airlines are set for takeoff after this bill is approved. They're set for takeoff. So nobody's agreeing that airlines should not get paid out. It's only a matter of time, right? The second thing that the fourth thing they agree on, they all agree on that COVID-19. They all agree that COVID-19 research. The last bill I saw that was proposed that passed the House, the House wanted to give $75 billion to COVID-19 research. The House agrees and passed a stimulus bill that said $75 billion to COVID-19. And then you have the Senate who agrees on that as well. So now when you look at it, COVID-19 research, airlines, and small businesses, everybody's locking step on all of that information. So it's only a matter of time when it's going to get passed. I think a bill will get passed next month, around about November 19th, November 18th, because it has to have time to go through the House. Then it has time to go through the House and the Senate. I think the current one that's sitting with the Senate right now, I don't think that's probably going to make it. I don't think the current one on the Senate is not going to make it, and especially is not going to make it now with President Trump on his Twitter. You know, let me share this. This is crazy that, you know, we have to go to the official with the president is saying via his Twitter. I guess he's trying to stop fake news, I guess, how he says it. So you see it right here. He says, Nancy Pelosi, this is his verified Twitter account. He says, Nancy Pelosi is making a $2.4 trillion to bail out poorly run, high crime Democratic states, money that is in no way related to COVID-19. We made a very generous offer of $1.6 trillion. And as usual, she is not negotiating in good faith. I'm rejecting their whatever the case may be. So essentially what he's saying is that, hey, the Democrat, what Trump having a problem with, President Trump is saying, hey, they put up a bill. Nancy Pelosi, the House, put up a bill for $2.4 trillion, and we don't want this bill to stop, right? They're saying that a lot of this money is going to local governments, giving states money, giving cities money, or whatnot. And he's saying that has nothing to do with COVID-19, that why are we running up the debt? So you got to think about it. Most Republicans, they're looking at it and saying, hey, Don't know what happened there early. Y'all give me 1 second. Let me remove this one. All right. Don't know what happened on that one. I'm sorry about that. I know. I'm sorry about that, ladies and gentlemen. I know people saying they can't hear me. I had a little step away there for a second. But we are back. So essentially, we have to go back to what the president is saying. Let me take that away. I'm glad it took that away. I'm sorry, y'all. I was going through. I was reading what the president had said. Let me get back on my screen. He said, where did he go? Everybody's saying that, but I'm back now. Y'all got me? Am I good to go? Y'all got me? I'm good to go now? Somebody saying the volume is really low. They can't hear me. They should be able to hear me now. Y'all should be able to hear me. Should be good to go. Let me test my mic. Make sure my volume is good to go. Can y'all hear me now? All right. King Carter said, where do you go? So hopefully that wasn't hopefully I'm back on live here. Y'all let me know if y'all can see me live and then I'm back in here live. Hopefully I'm back in here. Hopefully y'all can see me. Okay, Barry Smith, appreciate it. He said, I'm good to go. All right, let me see what y'all guys and girls. So anyway, what we have here, President Trump, he stopped the stimulus package because he's saying that, hey, I think too much money is going, a lot of money is being dedicated to things that has nothing to do with COVID. That's what they're disagreeing on, right? Now, when you look at this, ladies and gentlemen, let's look at the history. I want you guys and girls to consider the history. It's lower. You know what? Let me change out. Y'all give me 1 second. Let me change out my microphone. I want to make sure y'all can hear me. I know y'all can hear me now. There we go. I'm going to use this mic until we get it together. History of stimulus packages, ladies and gentlemen. Know your history. Your history, like I told you, ladies and gentlemen, I was studying the fall of 1907 crash, 1929 crash. And we're going back to the 1907 crash, 1909 crash, 1929 crash, 1987 crash, 1962 crash, 2001 crash, 2008 crash. All these crashes, ladies and gentlemen, when you study all of these crashes, and there's some that go before the 19th century, when you study all of these market crashes, you will notice, ladies and gentlemen, that we will have a stimulus. They always create stimulus packages. And when you notice every crash, they always come out with injecting money. Go back to 1907. How did we get out of 1907? This is what made J.P. Morgan the biggest man in the world. 1907, once we had the market crash of 1907, you can see J.P. Morgan bailed out the stock market, right? I think it was around about $10 million back then, 1907, which was a lot of money. He pretty much bailed out the stock market, ladies and gentlemen. So when you look at all of these different things that are going on in the world, the history of stimulus packages, they set up the next crash, one, but two, they always bail us out. I remember in 2007 when the market started to crash and it hit its bottom in 2008, early 2009, when it hit the bottom, you had so many people that came out and said, as we passed so many stimulus packages with President Bush, we had so many stimulus packages with President Obama. I can't even remember all the name of them. The new one is the CARES Act. Back then it was, I can't remember the act that they passed. And you go all the way back to 1934 when so many regulations got passed. You go back to 1907, 1908, 1987. When you see every major crash comes with big regulations. And these big regulations always set up the next crash. But they dig us out of the downtime. So I remember in 2009, you got to think about it, ladies and gentlemen. Think of this, the concept of anchoring and representation, if I'm not mistaken. This is the concept. Some people have their mind made up that the economy is horrible, and they look for data to verify the belief. So they think that, hey, you have a lot of bear people that says, hey, the economy is horrible. I'm not going to lie. Of course, there's some bad things going on. And they look for things to verify it. Vice versa, you have people that are very bullish on the market and they look for information that verifies their bullish information. But history will always repeat itself.
Every market crash that always has been followed by a stimulus package. Always some form of stimulus package got passed by that president to get the economy back on track. And in 2009, I remember there were people who were saying, oh, the stimulus is weak and it's not going to work and it's horrible. In 2010, they were saying it. 2011, they were saying we haven't dug ourselves out of the hole. We had a flash crash in 2010, but then it was back in 11. Long story short, from 2009 all the way to 20, all the way to this year, you had a bull market. So one of the things is when you see stimulus packages start to get written up and you start to see trillions of dollars being spent, money being sent out to people, this is nothing new up under the sun. President Bush did the same thing. President Obama did the same thing. Roosevelt did the same thing. I mean, this happens at every single crash, going all the way back to 1907. So, ladies and gentlemen, this is nothing new. This is nothing, oh, they're coming up with a stimulus package and they're passing all this money. No, they're doing, this is status quo. Lower interest rates. Everybody know, lower interest rates. Start buying back corporate bonds. These are things that is done all the time. You study anytime you look at everybody, every time you look at anybody, yes, stimulus packages have always been written for the last over 100 and something years. Every major market crash has been followed, unless it was a flash crash. In 1963, right after President Kennedy was assassinated, you saw the market react. When President Trump got diagnosed with COVID-19, you saw the market react. Everybody was like, oh, Trump got COVID, so it scared everybody. Look when Kennedy got assassinated. Look in 1907, when I think it was President William Farley, when he got assassinated. Ironically, a crash happened. In 1963, when President JFK was assassinated, you saw a crash happen. In 2020, when President Trump got COVID-19, you saw a crash happen. So, ladies and gentlemen, history will repeat itself. So in economics, finances, and business, this is why I like reading and studying old books and talking to old people. Because old people would tell you, they would laugh at you and say, man, we've seen this happen before. My dad is 74 years old. I'm 36. I just turned 36 last month. And that's what happened, right? Right here, I'm sorry. Barry Smith got it. Barry Smith said the TARP, right? He said Obama administration passed the Troubled Asset Relief Program. Right there. Obama, look at the one Bush did. Bush passed one as well. Bush gave everybody a $500 tax credit. Trump gave everybody $1,200. Back in 2008, Bush did $500. If you file your taxes, he didn't send it to you. You file your taxes, y'all only got $500. Bush did it. Roosevelt did it. You know, the Great Deal, creating all these, you know, this is nothing new. Jerome Powell, Stephen Munch, President Trump, Nancy Pelosi, Senator McConnell, they all done the same thing. I wasn't as tuned in. So watching the stimulus package, and when the stimulus package gets passed, everybody always says, man, it ain't going to work. Man, it ain't this. It ain't good. It ain't that. And guess what ends up happening? You end up missing the bull market that ensues right after. Here we go. So you always see this, right? I'm sorry for falling out on you guys and girls. I don't know what happened on that. So let's get what you guys and girls saying. Luminaire, he says, U.S. trade, China deficit record $67 billion per month, showing China isn't hurt this current trade war. China is wrecking Trump. Yes, you're right. We don't make anything over here in America. China makes everything, right? So China makes everything. They're the manufacturer. So if we, you know, I think actually by us stop doing business with China would actually help us. If we stopped making phones in China and we started making them here in America, that would probably create some jobs in America. If we stopped making our Nikes in China and started making them here in Texas or Colorado, that would create jobs. Think about it. If they built a Nike factory near your house, what does that do to your house value? If they built a Nike factory across my neighborhood, guess what? The property value of homeowners is probably going to go up. It's probably going to bring jobs to your local community. On reverse side, the price of Nike shoes are probably going to go up. The price of the iPhone will probably go up because the reason why we get all our stuff made over there is mainly because of cheap labor. And cheap labor equals cheap products. Al said, yes, sir. Spread the knowledge, brother. The Prince of Stocks. What's going on? Appreciate it, Al. Sorry about that, Casey. I'm going to DM you too, Casey. I got something I'm seeing. Sorry about that, Miss Crenshaw. That's a very nice smile there. She's very happy. See, the volume is really low. Hopefully, I got that. Sorry about that, King Carter. What's King Carter? What's going on? We have Bear. He says, good to go. I can hear you. Everybody's saying, yes, yes, I can hear you. It's lower than usual, so hopefully I'm back. And we, everybody's saying, much better. Prince, you're good. Okay, got it. Okay, got it, got it, got it. Okay, LK Raw said, they are leveraging the stimulus for votes. I will not forget this. We'll be voting for myself this election. You can't write yourself in and vote for yourself. But ladies and gentlemen, that's why Trump stopped it. Now, somebody asked me the question and said, Prince, is it wise to buy up airline stocks? So, is it wise to buy airline stocks? It all depends. What is your goal? Now, if you're someone who's looking 10 years down the line, at least 5 years down the line, and you're looking at the dip that airlines took, you know a stimulus bill is going to be passed. Why you know a stimulus bill is going to be passed? Because we just spoke about what both sides agree on. Both sides agree that airlines should get bailed out, meaning that airlines will get bailed out. Now that you said that, let's go to what, because Jerome Powell spoke on this today. Jerome Powell, if you go to federalreserve.org, this is federalreserve.gov, I'm sorry. Federalreserve.gov, you will see what Jerome Powell said. This came out today. He said recent economical developments and challenges ahead. He talks about pre-COVID. Pretty much all he said is the economy was doing good before. The economy had a snapback in March due to our quick lowering interest rates, putting money into the economy, buying up debt, aka pushing money into the stock market. We kind of lessened the blow. And they're saying that, hey, we need to get more money back into the economy as far as bailing out. So Jerome Powell is saying that, yes, Jerome Powell right here, ladies and gentlemen, this is not coming from Prince Dykes. This is coming from federalreserve.gov. This is not coming from some media outlet. If the federalreserve.gov is lying, then I'm lying too. But I'm going to the federalreserve.gov, and you can read what Jerome Powell put out today when he spoke. He spoke that, hey, airlines need a bailout. Even Republicans, when they rebutted, they agreed airlines should have a bailout. The House, look at the House bill. They believe that, I think it was like $25 billion should go to airlines, right? Now, ladies and gentlemen, when you look at this, you know airline stocks will jump. Airline stocks will take a while to repair. Yes, they're going to get a stimulus when they get the bailout. When the bailout is approved, airline stocks are probably going to go up 4 or 5% that day. But airline stocks still have to go through a little wooziness because with every bailout, all the money is not free. They are taking on some debt. So if it was me looking at it, if you can invest for at least 5 years, if you have a five-year time horizon, and if you have a five-year time horizon and you can afford the risk, I would say yes. I would take airline stocks as a risk because everybody, this is why, look at the political risk. Everybody agrees it should get a bailout. We know a stimulus bill is going to get passed. Either it's going to be President Trump or President-elect Biden. Either one of them, they're going to pass a stimulus bill, which is going to create a relief for airlines. And airlines will jump. Airlines will take off. Now, will they take off to the moon and could double themselves? I don't see that. But I will see a jump. I think I will see a jump in airline stocks. The only bad thing about it is until that bill is passed, you can see a lot of volatility in airlines until that bill is passed. All right? Lips a little dry. Right? So that's what you want to keep in mind. So Barry Smith is saying Bush helped Obama. That's true. That's true, Luminary Wins. You brought up a good point. As they stimulate the economy, as they print more money, the value of the dollar starts to decrease. This is crazy. I can't understand. It's a couple of things I can't grasp right now. I don't know why gold is falling in the stock market. Stocks go up, so does gold. Stocks go down, so does gold. Right? But what President Trump is doing, ladies and gentlemen, you got to know the history of economic crashes, busts. What led up to the bust? What led to that asset bubble? What made that asset bubble burst? What got us out of that asset bubble? Every time it was some type of stimulus going on. So ask yourself, the stimulus package, as they stimulate the economy, the dollar gets weaker. But gold right now, I don't know why gold is pretty much tracking stocks. Usually gold hedges stocks, meaning that as stocks go up, gold goes down. And as stocks go down, gold goes up. I had gold and silver as a hedge. But as you know, all it was doing was that stocks went up, but not as much as gold. I mean, stocks went up, gold went up when stocks went up, but gold didn't go up that much. For example, stocks go up 5%, gold may go up 1%. Then when the stocks go down, I don't know, 10%, gold will go down, you know, 3%. I'm like, why are you following equities? You should be the exact opposite. And I attribute it to stocks and equities tell you what the Federal Reserve is doing, but gold tell you what the economy is really doing. So that's one of my things I like to look at. Mr. Lemonade, we got Mike is in the building from Toronto. Y'all tell me where you're from. Everybody that's checking in, y'all hit that like, subscribe, comment, and share button. Share this with your friends as we go a little bit deeper. So we got Michael from Toronto, right? He said, I think commercial airline has been you don't think they can come back? You don't? We're going to be flying. Ask yourself this. When you look at the history of stimulus packages, find me one person in 2020 that is buying a house or who invested into the index. Go back 20 years ago, which was back in 2000, that they're saying, man, this house in 2000 was $250,000. Now it's only $100,000 a day. With all the buses, with all the booms and buses or whatnot, you go back 20 years from now, you look at all these companies, look at Amazon 20 years ago, Apple 20 years ago, Facebook, they haven't been around 20 years, but let's use another one. They say Apple, Walmart, all of our consumer staples, all of our staples, our top 500 companies, Google, 20 years ago, when you look at all of them, within 20 years, we've seen two market corrections. We've seen the dot-com bomb of 2001. We had the Great Recession of 2008. We also had the Great Recession of 2008. Then we had the Great Pandemic. I don't know what they're going to call it, the pandemic. Well, all of those booms and buses and booms and buses and booms and buses, you still see we're up higher than we were before. So, yes, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to be flying planes in 2 to 3 years, hopefully. You know, I think my dad is planning on flying to my house for Thanksgiving, right? So he's flying. My family's planning on flying. I plan on flying next year. This is the longest I've been without a plane. The last time I was on a plane was in March. So when the next time I plan on flying next year, I'm going to be flying 2 to 3, 4, 5 years from now. So we're going to be flying. We're going to be here. So to think that, hey, don't get so caught up. It's called availability. Availability, ladies and gentlemen, is when you get so caught up with information that's available to you today, you can't see tomorrow. You can't see the forest for the trees. You get so caught up in what's going on today, you think it's the end of the world. I thought that back in 2008. I said, man, I will wake up, turn the news, General Motors bankrupt, Ford bankrupt, Lehman Brothers disappeared, Bear Stearns disappeared, Bank of America bankrupt. What? All these companies going bankrupt. Gas prices $10 a gallon, hypothetically speaking. Unemployment through the roof. More and more people getting laid off. Unemployment through the roof. When I was in Iraq, I had buddies in Afghanistan. We fighting in two wars. We got two wars going on. Gas prices through the roof. Unemployment. I said, man, it is the end of the world. Because I did not know the history. I did not know the history of a market cycle. I did not know the history of stimulus packages and all the other stuff like that, how that stuff worked, the economy machine worked, right? So ladies and gentlemen, you got to don't get so caught with what's in front of you today, you can't see tomorrow, right? Don't get so caught with what's in front of you today, you can't see tomorrow. Oh, I don't think airlines are ever coming back. Some are taking on so much debt that it's going to make them hard to dig out in the future. I can agree to that. But they're going to eventually, we're going to be flying. The strong will survive. The top strong guys of Southwest and Delta, they're going to be here in 5 years. And I wouldn't be surprised if you start seeing some mergers and acquisitions in the airline industry. You're going to see some Deltas buying up Frontier. I wouldn't be surprised if you saw Frontier and Spirit getting together, or the big dogs buying the little ones, or little companies coming together. That's what's going to happen. The natural, what John Adams said by laissez-faire, take your hand off the economy and watch everything fix. So when you take your hands off the economy, you're going to watch some companies are probably, some airlines are probably going to come together. You know, you might see some Ford buy, I'm not Frontier and Spirit might come together. You might see Delta, one of the bigger guys, buy one of the little guys. And you're going to see some bankruptcies in the airline industry. And the ones that's going to be bankrupt are the ones with the weak finances. Who can't get a bailout with weak finances? All right. So Luminaire Awareness, he's saying gold has outperformed S&P 500 for the last 4 years. Be patient. Let's take a look at it. GLD. Let's take a look at GLD. How has GLD performed in the last 5 years? SPY. Because they're running right neck and neck with each other. I'm like, why is this going up or whatnot? Okay, let's go to charts. We're going to look at the SPY, S&P 500. Let's see. Let's see, this, I'm taking a look right here. I'm going to pull it up once I get it done on my screen. All right, 5 years. Okay. They've been right there. Okay, I can see that. 3-year chart, 1-year chart. Okay. Now, this is the, okay, so this is the thing I have. Okay, all right, let's go. Let me share this with you, guys and girls, so you can see it. Here we go. Okay, let me see. Let me stop it. Let me bring it back. I'm going to share my screen here. Make sure y'all can see it. So right here, this is the blue line is the gold ETF, GLD. And the other line here, the candlesticks is the little yellow and green, the green and red, for people who can't see that. Green and red is for this year, for 1 year. So the blue line, so this year, gold has beat the S&P 500, right? The last year, you've seen the last one. This is the 1 year chart, 3 year chart, 5 year chart, right? So 5 years, they've kind of been neck and neck with the S&P 500. Also, the 3 year chart, you can see it etched above the 3 year chart. And you can see year to date so far, as it has beat the S&P 500. So that would be a fair statement that in the last 4 to about 5 years has been neck to neck right there with the S&P 500. Now, this is my problem. When you see this, when you see stocks tank, you see gold kind of tank a little bit, and then it comes back up, right? So as you see stocks go up, they're moving in unison with each other instead of against each other. Now, S&P 500 has not had a great year this year compared to the big index this year has been the tech driven, right? You're looking at tech. I can't take off gold here. You got tech here. This year, tech and gold, the NASDAQ and gold have been hand in hand. You go back 1 year, you can see which one, making sure I'm saying the right line. You see the NASDAQ is kind of outperforming within the last year. The last 3 years, the NASDAQ has outperformed. The last 5 years, the NASDAQ has outperformed. So the last couple of years, I have, not the last couple of years, but especially earlier this year, this has been a year of tech. The last 4 or 5 years have been more tech than it has been a gold. But you are right. It has outperformed so far this year. You're right, Luminaire Wins. Even though it's not that much talked about. But gold, historically, its role has been to hedge the market. Arlene said, I wouldn't care about the dollar being as good pay a bill. Okay. 40 years. I'm trying to get what Noelia is saying about that. Oh, Julia, she said Oakland, but I live in Los Angeles. Oakland, okay, Los Angeles. I haven't been to L.A. Like, I've been to L.A. probably like 10 years ago, but I did the typical stuff. I was on Hollywood Boulevard, and I went to a Lakers game. No, I didn't go to – no, I wasn't a Lakers – I went to a Lakers game in San Diego. But I have gone to the Staples Center. I did the typical Hollywood stuff. Okay, California Lance, okay. Vallejo, okay. Okay, California's in here heavy. Then you got Mike. Michael, he's coming. He said, I think just a few airlines will be left. I like the way Southwest is run, but it's a buy for the long run and hold. Yeah, that's why I always tell people. People be like, well, Prince, what about United and Frontier and Spirit and Sprint and all these other companies? I said, man, just get with the big guys and just roll with it because all these other guys, I don't know if they're going to be here. All right. Who else we got in here? We got a lot of good comments coming on here. I started to, Julia says, I started to buy gold 3 months ago because I was fearing inflation. They all gone up to KGC. Is this for me, for them? Okay. No, gold is not a bad thing. The only thing about it is I usually use gold to hedge, to go against the market, you know, and market upswings. Gold kind of holds its value, but I was waiting on a downswing for, you know, usually right now, if the market goes down, what's in your portfolio that will go up? Number one is cash. Cash is always king. Right now, come tomorrow, we're going to probably see a bloodbath. Stocks will probably be down. If you have cash, that's king in a down market. But what's in your portfolio is going to hold its value of gold go up. I sold my gold and I went to bonds. I made a big video about that. And looking back on that, wasn't bad, but that bond, BLV, pays a dividend every single month. It has held and grown in value. But one of the disadvantages of holding that long-term bond like that, by paying me a monthly dividend, that's great, but that's also increasing my tax burden. That's why I wasn't too crazy about holding it. But you got to look at yourself and ask yourself, what can you do to what else can you do if the stocks crash tomorrow? What's in your portfolio is going to hold its value or go up? That's why you got to know the fundamentals of your company. That's why you got to know the fundamentals, right? Mike Olivia, where are you from, Mike? What's your take on the regional banks? I've noticed DSP as an ETF, a regional bank, love to move up very quickly. Positive stimulus news. Let's take a look at it. What's that called? DSPT? Let's take a look at DSPT. He said this is supposed to be an ETF that tracks regional banks. ETF, if you don't know, is an exchange traded fund. What? DSPT? That's what you wrote? Well, that's not pulling up on E-Trade. DSPT. Are you sure that's DSPT? Let me write it in here. Let's see some. Oh, okay, okay. It's not on E-Trade. And that happens sometimes, ladies and gentlemen. So since it's not on E-Trade, let's run to, there's more than one way to skin a cat. I'm going to go to my TD Ameritrade account. All right. It's kind of logging over here. So here we go. DSPT. Oh, it's not pulling up over here either on TD Ameritrade. Where do you get this thing from, Mike Oliver? Olivia? Jess says, what about American Airlines? I was looking it up on E-Trade and TD Ameritrade, but I couldn't find it. American Airlines, they're not bad, but the two biggest and strongest financial companies are Southwest and Delta. Give me 1 second here. Don't tell me I'm going to freeze up. Hold on. Close this tab out. There we go. Let's go back. Judith says, I have Southwest, Delta, JetBlue. I need them to dip a bit before I buy more. Instead of buying all three, you could buy JETS, JETS. JETS is a ETF that tracks the airline industry. That's JETS. Jack, Echo, Tango, Sierra. For all my military people out there. So you can do that. You can buy the whole airline industry instead of buying so many different airline stocks. That's another way. Because I just got a dividend on gold. Nice. Clarence Dunk. What's going on, Clarence Dunk? He says, good to see you. Beautiful spirit, my brother. Appreciate it. Thank you. He said, gold has beaten it. I got to look it up for the last 40. But usually what gold does is it'll travel flat, then it'll jump. It'll travel flat, then it'll jump. It'll travel flat, it'll jump. Right? So in the meantime, yes. In the down markets, right, when the markets are up, gold usually it doesn't outperform equities when the market is up. But when you stretch it out, of course, over downtime, you know, it spikes up, it goes up. When we have economic, like in 2008, gold hit a big spike. In 2020, gold made a big run because a lot of uncertainty is in the market, right? Okay. UVXY. Let's see what UEXY is. UVXY. Oh, you risky. So you got a short-term futures ETF. I don't want to short it like that, you know, because this, I see what you're saying here. You have a short-term futures ETF, VIX. Okay. So as volatility pushes up in the market, this goes up. Okay, I can see that. Okay, UVXY, not bad. I can see that. Using the VIX, so as volatility increases, that's a good one. I like that. I like that, Mike. The UVXY, as volatility increases in the market, meaning when we see these major swings, when we see stocks jump up one day, then jump down the next day, go up, that's a lot of volatility. And volatility comes when you have uncertainty. You have a lot of uncertainty in the market. You see a lot of built volatility, and this starts to gain value. That's another way. You're right. I forgot about volatility. VIX. Against a bullish market. Okay. KO is a good one. I'm not big on a dividend. I don't want the dividend. Knowing what I know today, I'm not crazy on the dividend. I want something to go up in value when the market goes down. But I know we have leveraged bullish ETFs, leveraged bearish ETFs, not big on those, but that's how I look at it. Mike, what's going on, Miami? Okay, I see what you're saying now. Someone mentioned getting a dummy LLC as a tax shelter. Yes, one thing you can do as an investor, you can start a company. You can start an LLC, and instead of trading under your name, Julia, you can trade up under your company's name and use it as a tax shelter. That is true. I won't call it a dummy LLC because you have to legitimately start a company. You may start Julia's Investment, right? And then you open up a business account with your broker. If you're using E-Trade, TD Ameritrade, whatever, you should be able to open up a business brokerage account. And in your business brokerage account, you do your investments. And if your investments do bad, you write off as a business loss. If your investments do good, hopefully you can do, your investments are only going to do good if you are selling them, But if you're deferring, then you know that's a way to avoid taxes or to limit your tax exposure. That's a professional way. Limiting your tax exposure or avoiding taxes. There's a difference between tax avoidance and tax evasion. Avoiding taxes versus evading taxes is two different things. Avoiding taxes is legal. Evading taxes is illegal, right? DPST. All right, there we go. I figured you had mistyped something there. DPST. DPST. Okay, so you got the bullish. Okay. This is a leveraged bullish ETF on regional banks. Let's see what's inside of the portfolio. Okay. So inside of DPST, we finally got it right. Let me share this to guys and girls. DPST, this is a bullish leverage ETF for regional banks. Meaning as regional banks go up in value, this one really goes up. It's putting on steroids. Inside of it, it has the First Republic Bank, Zions Bank, Citizen Bank, Key Corps, SVP, PNC Financials, Trust Financial Corps. Okay, I can see that. I was very bullish on banks earlier this year due to the stimulus package. Because those PPP loans, when you look at people getting the PPP loans, they're getting a PPP loan from like financial institutions. So I think as stimulus get passed, Mike, as stimulus package get passed, those PPP loans, you don't write the Department of Treasury to get your PPP loan. You have to go through some financial institution and you pay back like 1 or 2%, maybe via the SBA, maybe via Bank of America, maybe some of these smaller regional banks. So as the stimulus package get passed, this is another one. DPST could see a nice run. Also, airlines could see a nice run. So I can see that. I can agree with that. Jess says, hey, how you going? How you doing, Jess? He said, I have puts on American Airlines. Yes, I believe before it's said and done, especially if we don't get bailouts, I think one of the airlines is going to go broke. Right? I think one of the airlines is going to go broke, ladies and gentlemen. They're going to go bankrupt. Some of them already did. Some of the smaller guys. That's why I say stick with the big ones first, the top three. I look at the top three. I'll stick with them who was already profitable and all those things like that. I think that if we don't get these bailouts, I think that you're going to see some of the smaller guys disappear. Right? Now, another thing I wanted to talk about, make sure I want to hit everything. We talked about what both sides agree on. Everybody's pushing PPP loans. Great observation there, Mike. I do believe as the stimulus package is passed, banks, everybody agree on the PPP loans. When they give those PPP loans, you don't go to the Department of Treasury. They give that money to the banks, from my understanding, and the banks lend it out to people to get the PPP loans, right? Now you have, also, everybody's agreeing that airlines should get a bailout. I think airlines, once the stimulus package is passed next month, airlines will see a jump. I think banks will see a jump as well. Another one, everybody's allocating $70 billion to coronavirus research. I don't know how that's going to be allocated. What do I mean by I don't know how that's going to be allocated? Is that money going to sit somewhere and companies have to apply and to get the grant to research coronavirus? Is that money going to be given to companies to research coronavirus? I don't know how the coronavirus research money is going to be allocated. I don't know how that money is going to be allocated. I don't know. It's like, hey, but the Republicans and Democrats both agreed that they want to do coronavirus research. And the latest one that the House approved was $75 billion. Do they just give that money to people to do research? Do people have to apply to get a grant? Do they just throw the money up in the sky, put it in a plane, throw it off a trash can? I don't know. So I can't, since I don't know how that money would be allocated, I don't know who's going to benefit from it. But I do know research companies that we talked about in another episode could be something. So companies researching the COVID-19, like the Pfizer's and things like that, I can see a jump there. airlines getting a jump, and I can also see banks getting a jump because of the PPP portion. We talked about political risk. Stock market was doing fine for the last 2 days. Trump gets up, gets on Twitter. He tweets and says, stop all stimulus package negotiations until after the elections. Stocks turned down 600 points, creating a great entry point for a lot of investors. That's political risk, politics. You all know that President Trump stopped it because he felt like it was politicizing the whole thing. He felt it was politicizing, you know, dangling the fish in front of his face. The Federal Reserve gave a long speech today talking about pre-COVID, during COVID, and the outlook of after COVID. Pretty vanilla, nothing really of note. I'm looking down to see if I wrote something down that was of note because I read the whole speech. Nothing too crazy of note. Pretty much pretty vanilla from the Federal Reserve. But he did speak. Anytime Jerome Powell speaks, it is a big deal. He is very big on us getting the second stimulus, and he is in agreement with airlines getting the bailout and small businesses and people. I don't know what they're thinking $1,200 is doing, but okay. What does it mean for investors? I just spoke about it. I just spoke about we know whether it is President-elect Biden or President Trump next month, somebody's going to pass a stimulus bill. We just don't know when. We talked about the history of stimulus. People are like, oh, people are stimulating and everybody's stimulating. It's not good. And stimulating, right? Stimulating is part of the American culture. When you go all the way back, you know, from 100 years ago, with every major crash that we have experienced, there's always been big stimulus packages. Republicans did it. Democrats did it. We did it when we was on a gold standard. We did it when we was a fiat currency. We did it, you know, every time, you know, we always done some big stimulus spending package. And every time we stimulated, the market has always rebounded higher than it was before it went down. Don't miss the boat. Know your history. Now, do I know exactly how it's going to happen? No, I wish I did. I wish I did have that crystal ball. But unfortunately, I don't. Vegas Mobster said the Democrats and Republicans are clueless. Oh, my goodness. That is funny. Mike says, thank you, sir. Glad I caught you live today. Thank you. Thank you, man. Thank you. Appreciate it. One Love Lancer, man. Y'all give a shout out to One Love. I got your video. Thank you for tagging me on Instagram and stuff like that. I saw the video you sent me with you starting to invest and getting into investing and how investing helped you and whatnot. And I want to say, man, I really appreciate it. You know, I'm going to DM you something as well. I'm going to DM you something. One Love, man. I really appreciate that video. You and your wife or girlfriend, I'm not sure. I think that was your wife you said. You know, I remember seeing the video. I got a memory of an elephant. I remember just about everybody that reaches out to me and stuff like that. But I remember you saying that I was just so emotionally touched by, like, wow, this guy, he listened to the podcast. He started investing. He's making money. He got his own company. He got his lawn service. Him and his wife are doing a lawn service together. That's awesome. Here, I'm going to DM you something after the show. You might like it. I hope Tesla is one of those. Yes. Okay. Be careful, people. Be careful. Most people lose a lot on options. Yes, when you get into that whole option thing, ladies and gentlemen, that's very risky. Be very, yes, Sierra, your wife Sierra. I remember that. So I'm going to give you something. What I mean by that, what I'm going to just be honest and tell what it is. You know, I do my own private thing with investing, and I'm going to give you one of my outlooks on investing, you know, in a particular company, sector, or whatnot. You might like it. It's not a recommendation. It's just my thought process that I want to share with you. Right? You might like it. But yeah, so options sounds so easy. Oh, wow. You know, but it's more to go into options than we really know. Right? You know, everyone knows that, right? So And I'm going to give this to you. This is something, One Love, that I don't give out to the public. There's some things I do privately that I don't give out to the public. But I'm going to share my thought process, my whole thought process, what I look at it and what I see. And it may be something you may be interested in, something you may want to keep an eye on or whatnot. That's just my way of showing appreciation, right? So anyway, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls and children of all ages, I'm glad to see y'all in the comments. Excuse me on that. Hopefully, ain't the coronavirus sneaking up on me. But I'm glad to see you guys and girls are talking about it, looking at the President Trump's stimulus packages and things like that, and what he said, and how it affects investors. So go out there. Notice when the stimulus package gets approved, you're going to see banks go up. Banks going to go up because of the PPP loan. Who's going to be the custodian of the PPP loan? Usually it's bank, small business association, something like that. Two, you're going to see airlines. Everybody's agreeing that airlines should get paid. And the third one was this coronavirus research. Everybody's agreeing that coronavirus research should get paid. So ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, I want to thank y'all for tuning in tonight. I'm going to go ahead and wrap it up. I got to get out of here. I got some studying to do. I got some research to do. I got some schoolwork to do because I'm always perfecting my craft. I read my books, and I got some phone calls to make too. So very busy night before I turn it in tonight. But I want to thank y'all for tuning in. I love each and every one of you guys and girls. Thank y'all for tuning in. I hope y'all got some out of this episode. Like this, share this. And until the next video, podcast, cartoon, or whatever else crazy you see me do around the globe, peace, be safe. I'm out. Thank you.